it's a big Friday. WIP Afternoon Show with Ike, Spike, and Fritz. Ike, how are we feeling?
Spike, it is a football Friday. Still got Jackie Baseball behind the glass. Holla at your boy.
It's good I'm still here. Never leaving.
Yeah.
Wait a minute. What? Were you not going to be there?
Well, he said, Jackie's, I'm still behind the glass.
Like, oh, yeah, okay. Yeah, All right. I didn't know if there was something. So,
what was wrong with y'all?
I don't know, man. Listen, we're all flustered. Okay.
Yeah, well, you know, a slight change in our schedule. We still got a good show.
Yes.
It's just, this is what happens
this
when
is
you change.
Exactly what just happened.
You
yes.
change something by 15 minutes. And yes. I'm like, oh, I don't know how to do the show.
I don't know how to talk. Should we just go straight back to break?
Yeah, I don't know. So, we do have a giant show. I say Football Friday, but we've got a very big baseball guest. Kyle Schwarber, the leadoff hitter of your NL East champion Philadelphia Phillies, will join us at 2:15. See, that was the thing. It was going to be 2:30, and I'm all flustered, but it's okay. Kyle Schwarber joins us at 2:15. Following up Kyle Schwarber, Elliot Shore Parks, not really the same sort of stature, but still a big guest. Elliot joins us at 3 o'clock. 4 o'clock, Ron Jaworski will join us. Of course, Tommy from Down the Shore will give his prediction. The top 5 of 5 later on in the show. It's a very, very, very big show. You know, there's been a lot this week of people talking about the record that the Eagles are going to have going into the bye week and sort of being satisfied with a 2-2 record. That we got out, you know, we got out of New Orleans with a win, and there are all these injuries, and it would just be okay. I think everybody wants the Eagles to win on Sunday, but it sort of seems like there's this attitude where, if we lose, we lose. And it is driving me a little bit crazy as when you take a step back, the Eagles are favorites on Sunday. They opened up, but they are. The Eagles are opened up as 2-point favorites and now 1.5-point favorites on Sunday. They still have, and I think Lane Johnson's probably going to play on Sunday. I don't have any information, but it looks like it's trending that way.
Are you trying to get an Eagles insider of the year?
No. I'm just saying the Eagles still have a great offensive line. They still have Saquon Barkley. And it's not like they are going into Tampa to play the 2020 Tampa Bay Bucks. This Tampa Bay Bucks team is pretty mid, as the kids say. They're 2-1. They should be 1-2. This is a game. I know everybody's satisfied with the 2-2 thing. Let's go into the bye 3-1. That can change the entire perspective of the season. And you know at some point this season, we're going to lose some game that we were supposed to win. We'll go into some game thinking that something's a lock, and we're going to end up losing that game. So I want to get every win I can early in the season and bank them. I want to see a big game out of Kellen Moore. Right? They brought in a real offensive coordinator. All right, you don't have your weapons. I want to see some two-back stuff. I want to see some two-tight-end stuff. I want to see him. I want to see Jalen Hurts go in there with a mistake-free game as far as turnovers, making sure that the game is close the entire time. I want to see Nick get out of his head. There are a lot of things we can control on Sunday. Mm-hmm. I want to see Nick get out of his head. Don't give us anything to argue about. And I need everyone to stop being cowards about this and expect more. And if you are favorites on Sunday, you should go in and win the game. Let's go win the game.
Well, weren't they underdogs last week?
They were underdogs last week.
And they won?
They won. 2-point underdogs.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. I'll say this. I don't know who's playing Sunday. This line has me scratching my head. Does someone know that AJ may play Sunday? Why else would this team be favored? The Bucks are coming off a tough loss last week. And it's a game that they certainly want to get. They don't want to lose 2 games in a row at home. And the Eagles are undermanned. So I don't know why the Eagles are still favored unless someone knows something that we don't know, which means somebody could be playing that we may not expect to play.
Or the Bucks are just they're not good.
Well, hold on.
They're okay.
They were good when they were 2-0. Everybody thought they were good.
Yeah, but they're okay.
They lose 1 game to the Broncos. And now they're no good. They still have Mike Evans. They still have Baker Mayfield, Chris Godwin. Like, they still have their full complementary of players. That's all I'm saying. I'm hoping that the Eagles are going to win Sunday. I hope they win Sunday. I'm more than likely picking the Eagles to win Sunday.
Well, yeah.
Do I expect a win Sunday? I can't say I expect a win Sunday.
I don't think there's anything wrong with expecting a win on Sunday.
Sure, and
I
don't, you don't have all your players.
Well, but they're, again, the you know one thing
when
you said.
When they went to Tampa in that playoff game without AJ, we all knew they were losing that game.
I'm going to throw your words back at you, right?
Okay.
Yeah, okay. The Saints were 2-0, and mm-hmm. you told me, this is 2-0, but these guys are not, you know, these guys are not a team that we need to be scared of.
Right.
And I think it's the same thing with the Tampa Bay Bucks. I'm just shocked that everyone thinks that going into a game against a mid-pack NFL team mm-hmm. is something that we should just concede and be happy going into the bye 2-2. It just doesn't feel that way to me. And I'm surprised that everybody feels that way. Jack, are you another one of these
undermanned.
Cowards?
We're undermanned.
That's of course we're undermanned.
That's the only reason we feel that way.
We're undermanned by, two players?
Oh, yeah.
Three players.
One of the best duo wide receivers in football.
Okay.
Do you know their record without Lane Johnson?
Here's the funny thing. Hold on real quick.
Yeah.
Because I heard this on the way in here, and I didn't even get to get Joe Giglio before he left out here with his nonsense. But you're heading down the same road. All I hear is this Jalen needs to go out there and find a way to win. Find a way to win. Who is he throwing the ball to? Paris Campbell, who you think stinks.
He does.
Jahan Dotson, who I'm not sure anybody knows what he can do. So we're going to go in the game, and what are we going to do? Jalen's going to throw the ball all game, or is he going to run? He's going to run?
Here's the thing. I don't want Jalen Hurts to go in there.
Are they going to win the game?
Here's how we win the game.
Okay, talk to
him. Don't go in there and give the ball away. As long as you don't give the ball away, we have the
that's not really.
We have the leading candidate for offensive player of the year in the backfield.
So we're going to run the ball.
We're going to run, but here's what I want.
Okay.
I want the offensive coordinator that everyone thought was going to come in here and actually change things. I want the offensive coordinator to do more than replace the three guys. The two guys who are hurt with two other guys and run the same offense as if everything's the same.
That's what I've been calling for. I want to change up the offense.
I want to see Kenny Gainwell and Saquon Barkley. No, here's what I want. I want to see Kenny Gainwell and Saquon Barkley on the field at the same time.
Okay.
I want to see Will Shipley and Saquon Barkley on the field at the same time. I want to see Cal Kutera and Dallas Goedert on the field at the same time. And I want to approach this game like Vic Fangio approached the game last week and said, you know what? I have to do something differently to win this game. And I think the Eagles can do it. And I think if we didn't give the ball away twice last week, we might have won that game by 10 points. A game that was down to the wire, we might have won that game by 10 points if we didn't. I don't want.
Me, it was more than the turnovers that kept points off the board. But
what I'm saying?
That goes back to a Jalen thing. And listen, I told you, change this offensive philosophy up. Now, I've said that. All I've heard is Jalen needs to do this, Jalen needs to do that. If you're telling me we're going down there, we're going to get a ball to Saquon. Okay, let's go.
Let's go do it. Now, I'm not changing the offensive philosophy when those guys are back.
No,
I'm
definitely.
But for this game, I think it's. Now, Jack, have you heard the cowardice around the town about people going in there expecting that they will lose?
Yeah, and here's where I'm at. And I think it's absolutely crazy that people are like expecting a win on Sunday. I think you're insane. Frankly, I think the Eagles should go in there prioritizing health over a win. A win doesn't really matter on Sunday. Making sure the Eagles are healthy matters so much more in the long term. You have a bye week next week. What are we wasting Lane Johnson? What are we wasting AJ Brown for? And what are we wasting Devontae Smith for?
Wasting? Devontae Smith's not going to play.
Okay, what are we rushing those guys in the field for? AJ Brown's a bad
to win
hit.
A football game.
But there's a 2-2. We would have taken 2-2.
You want to rest players in the regular season?
Someone has to have the bigger picture in mind here. And I cannot believe that people are like, we got to get those guys out here. Are you crazy? They're going to lose anybody if they do play because they're going to be compromised. Let Fred Johnson, who looked fine last week, perfectly fine, and there's no point in rushing AJ out there. Like, limit Saquon's touches and just don't give up the Bucks anything to see on tape because you might play them in the playoffs again and just take the week off.
This is
take the week off now.
This is a ridiculous.
Relax over there.
It's just crazy to me. Like, we got to win this football game. No, you don't.
No, it's about.
It's going to take 9 wins to win the division. 9. This division sucks. It sucks.
Now the division sucks.
It does suck. The Giants suck.
The Giants have always sucked. The Washington is better.
They're better, but they still suck. They're like an 8-9 win team.
No, the Eagles are not good enough to go in and say we're going to punt a game because of health.
But this matters more.
Yeah, I agree with that.
This is not the 17th game when we already have home field locked up.
You guys sound insane.
You sound insane.
No, I don't.
This is the I thought you were a football guy.
There's a bye week next week.
Which is exactly the reason why it's okay to play.
So they go out there, they play AJ. AJ re-injures his hamstring, and now he's done for longer.
Well, let's not put that in the atmosphere.
Well, this would happen.
That's not. Yeah, I'm not. Yeah.
You wouldn't have any problem with Bryce Harper coming back after a hamstring.
We're trying to win a pennant.
Good point. Not in July, we're not.
Yeah. 162-game season, lunatic.
Yeah, that's a good point.
We had an MVP future.
That's another good point by you. But to Sunday's game, you two. I'm in this. Oh God, I hate being on the fence because obviously I want them to win and I hope they win. It's the thought of now if I get to Sunday and Rappaport comes out with the inactives, and AJ's not on the list and he's going to start and Lane's going to start, then my whole mindset changes.
On the game, I agree.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying, on the game Sunday. But right now I'm looking at everything like with Jalen's going out there with Dallas Goedert and Saquon and not much more from a skill position standpoint.
215-592-9494. Jack thinks that the Eagles should rest their players on Sunday.
This is on Kellen Moore.
It is.
And whatever brain trust they come together with for this game plan Sunday, if they can't shorten the game, if they can shorten the game by running the football and limiting possessions, might have a chance to win a close.
That's what I'm saying. Jack talking
17-13.
215-592-9494. Jack thinks they should rest their good players on Sunday.
Prioritize health over winning a football game.
You know what? So you're going to tell people where to get appliances here, and I don't know how anyone can trust you with anything, truly. I don't say that. I love National Appliance Warehouse. I'm saying that they're good for this one because I don't think anyone should trust anything you say the rest of the day.
But here's my thing. Is that when football... I understand why people might be a little skeptical.
Yeah.
Baseball, there's no skepticism, just pure facts all time. Appliances, they know where to turn to when they need their appliances.
Well, it's actually National Appliance Warehouse, not you.
Right, but, the facilitating through, and it's all a good one big happy family. National Appliance Warehouse is where you have to go. For game day, we got MLB playoffs starting next week. We got football. Mm-hmm. Is your kitchen ready? Is your house ready for everything going on? Well, you got to get the National Appliance Warehouse. They have ovens with air fry for the perfect wings. They have brand new refrigerators all over the place to where make sure your beverages are perfectly chilled. You know you're going to get the best price always at National Appliance Warehouse. You know that because of Price Assure, a piece of technology that they have specifically for National Appliance Warehouse that is instantly updating price tags all throughout the store. And of course, you're going to get an excellent service team. It's what they care about. It's part of who they are, part of the fabric of National Appliance Warehouse. You walk in there, you feel like you're a part of their family. So get down to National Appliance Warehouse. Over 100 brands from sub-zero to budget. You'll find the perfect appliance for you. Go to nationalappliancewarehouse.com or visit their showroom in tax-free Wilmington or Middletown, Delaware today and tell them Fred sent you.
All right, 215-592-9494. Are you one of these cowards who either doesn't expect to win on Sunday or, like Jack, thinks they should rest players, prioritize health over a... I can't even imagine prioritizing health over a win in week 4 of the NFL season.
Well, I'm assuming he's talking about the guys that are already banged up.
He is, but still, I
could see not rushing AJ back.
Well, the thing about rushing him back, I don't think AJ's rushing back from a hamstring. I can't imagine that this guy is a guy who's going to rush back. He didn't rush back last year.
That was the end of the season.
Yeah. I don't think he's going to rush back. And I actually think the thing that Jack's saying about the bye being a reason that you should rest the guys, the bye is the reason why I feel confident if they think they're ready to go, let them go. They get a week off after Sunday.
That's my plan for Saquon. Yeah. 30 carries Sunday.
No.
Yeah. What? For Saquon? What else are we going to do?
We're giving the ball to Will Shipley.
Get out of here.
Get out of here with that.
That I'm not dealing with. Get out of here with that nonsense. Get a ball to Will Shipley. Yeah, get out of here with that.
He wants to rest Gainwell, too. He skipped right over Gainwell.
Gainwell, I have no hope for.
To go to Will Shipley. So Kyle Schwarber will join us in moments.
Start, what is his name? Tanner McKee? Yeah, start him.
I may not count Sunday against Jalen's ledger.
Okay.
I want to put that out there in the universe.
Is Schwarber a footballsman? Can I ask him about this ridiculous opinion?
Now he's a Bengals fan. Well, he's a Bengals man, too.
Well, there you go.
A little bit of a tough start for the Bengals.
Not Bengals.
I try to do Bengals. Right?
Never Bengals know. Is a band from the 80s. The Bengals are a football team.
So they did Jersey Day, the Phillies did, before they went on a road trip. He brought an Icky Woods jersey.
Oh, he's from old school. Yeah, he's throwback. Throwback.
Yeah. How bad?
That's my childhood. Icky Woods, James Brooks, Boomer. Come on, man.
Yeah, Boomer, of course. Man. Boomer legend.
My favorite lefty.
Yeah, and best quarterback in the history of the Cincinnati Bengals?
Yeah, for me.
Yeah.
There's not much. I mean,
yeah, that's what I'm saying.
Oh, Carson Palmer.
That retired to get out of his contract?
Come on, man. Joe Burrow? Ken Anderson?
Dude, Andy Dalton's their second best quarterback in franchise history. By this point, yeah.
By the way, how about Andy Dalton?
Jeff Blake?
Andy Dalton?
Jeff Blake. Kelly Smith a Bengal?
Yeah. Well, we don't count him.
How about Andy Dalton last week throwing as many touchdown passes as Jalen has all year?
Chances. Always Jalen.
Oh, Kyle Schwarber about to join us. Very excited. I'm excited. We've never had Schwarber on the show. We didn't have him in spring training.
Well, we've had him on the show.
I have not.
Yes,
I have not been on the show. This version of this show.
You're right. You haven't had a chance to interview him.
No, I'm excited about Kyle Schwarber. He sold me this year.
Schwarbombs?
He sold me. I got here. I was like, wait a minute. How is this guy leading off? You know? I also want to ask him how he goes. Well, here he is. Hold on. There it is. Kyle Schwarber of the NL East champion Philadelphia Phillies. Thanks for joining the show, man. Appreciate you.
Hey, guys. How's it going?
Good.
Good.
Yeah, I asked Jack if you're a football guy. Jack's opinion is the Eagles should rest their starters on Sunday and prioritize health. Is that the craziest thing you ever heard?
Yeah, it's pretty crazy.
Yeah. So, you guys, as I said when I introduced you, NL East champions, every one of you said at the beginning of the year how winning the division was important. How big a target did you put on? And obviously, the big thing is to win the World Series. But how much of an accomplishment and how much of a target did you put the NL East?
Yeah, I think it's always in the goals of every year, right? Whenever you do point out, kind of what you want to accomplish throughout a season, and team wise, where we know that. The talent that we had in the room, we know the guys that we had in the room, and we really wanted to put our stamp, I guess, on this year with going out there and winning the NL East first, and like that was kind of that first thing that we really wanted to accomplish is making sure that we could lock down the East, and then next thing we're moving on from there.
So you guys have locked down a bye, which is great. How much importance do you put and how much of an advantage do you think it is getting the one seed and making sure that the playoffs run through Philadelphia?
Yeah, I mean, we definitely want to be that one seed. And, there's going to be, we got three games left, but we're down a game. So it's pretty much almost a half game, pretty much, if we do take that lead, that tie, that we'll have that one seed. So, we're really wanting that. We want to make sure that every postseason series, like you said, is having the home field advantage running through Philadelphia, because I don't think it's a secret anymore. And I don't think that no one's surprised that when they walk into the stadium and they walk into the bank that they realize that it's gonna just be another factor that they're gonna have to deal with.
Mm-hmm. Kyle, you've been here 3 years now, and hell, we've made the playoffs every year that you've been here, so obviously we don't want you to ever leave here again. And a big part of why we love you as a player, besides what you do on the field, it seems to be your leadership and your impact you have on your teammates in the clubhouse. So I'm interested. You guys went through a little bit of a lull the second half of the season, and there's a lot of noise on the outside about making changes and what Topper should do and this and that and the other to sort of get you guys out of a little bit of a funk that you were in. But he seemed to stay steady, and a lot of the leadership in that clubhouse seemed to stay steady and didn't panic. I'm wondering, what was that like for you as being one of the vocal leaders in the clubhouse to sort of help your teammates get through the second half of the season to get to the end of the season?
Yeah, I mean, pretty much, when we're going through a stretch like that where you know, things are going to go right. And you kind of look at that first half of the season where we get off that really good start. We put ourselves in a great situation. And then all of a sudden, you know, the second half comes out and then we start off pretty slow. And, you know, at the end of the day, you know, it's more about, okay, what you know, you got to look in the mirror and you got to go, okay, are we doing what we need to do on a daily basis to put ourselves in a good position to succeed? And if we're doing that on a daily basis, what else are you going to change, right? Like, you know, you might change a little bit what you do in the cage, what you do, you know, on the field. But, like, you know, we're doing those same concepts that we had throughout all of our successes, right? You know, and this is such a game of – it's a game of outcomes that we play, right, where, you know, you can hit – you can do everything right and you can be out. And you can do everything wrong and you can get a hit and vice versa on the pitching side, right? Like, you know, so that's, like, the biggest thing for us. Like, that's why it's always just a big thing to stay the same person every single day and make sure that you have that focus. And make sure that you do have that, you know, that attention to detail on a daily basis. Because at some point, you know, you're going to start doing those little things, a little thing, and that's going to turn to a smaller win, a smaller win, a smaller win. And then next thing you know, it keeps falling on to where we're back to playing our baseball, which we got to. So, you know, it's just kind of like, that's why we say don't panic. But also, too, you know, it's not like we're not going to address something that, you know, if we see something that we feel like is not up to our standard, you know, that's when we address it. But if we see that everything that is up to our standard and it's just not working out, we just got to keep showing up the field and keep grinding on it and keep working to be better.
Yeah, I'm so impressed by ball players to be able to do that. You guys play so many games and you have to sort of have that sort of mental toughness to come back the next day. Football players, we just once a week and we get a little time in between to sort of regroup and get things back together, even for yourself individually. I wonder, what was that like for you to go through that little power outage, per se, that you sort of went through where you and Bryce weren't hitting home runs. You were still hitting, but you weren't necessarily hitting home runs. What was that like for you to sort of get through that without, compromising everything else you do as a ball player and remaining confident that you would eventually get back to being the hitter that we expect you to be? What was that like for you to get through that time?
Yeah, I mean, I think the biggest thing is, like, you know, you're still trying to find a way to be productive, right? Whenever you feel like that you're not doing the things that, you know, naturally come to you, right? If that's me not putting the ball in the seats, then, okay, I have to still find a way to be a productive player for the team and for the guys behind me and those guys in front of me, right? You know, I want to, you know, if those guys are on, you know, on third base, less than two outs, I got to be able to find a way to get that guy in. Or, okay, nobody on, nobody out, you know, finding my way on that base, or, you know, say Trey's up or Harp's up and they get a base hit. I'm trying to find an extra 90 feet somewhere, so I'm in scoring position. So those are the things that you kind of think of, right? You know, don't get me wrong, does it creep into your head at some point? Sure, right? Like, you know, you'd be in the cage again, man, you know, joking around, when am I going to hit my next home run?
Yeah.
You know, geez, like, it's been forever. But, and then all of a sudden, next thing you know, it happens, and you don't even think about it ever again.
We have Kyle Schwarber, leadoff hitter for the NL East champion Philadelphia Phillies. I know it's a long season. Do you think there are singular moments during a baseball season that can change the course of the rest of the season? One game, one at bat, something like that?
I think that I definitely think there are key points throughout the season, right? You know, I don't think it's just maybe one thing. But it could be definitely one thing. But I just think if you look throughout a course of a year, and you can see a lot of really cool things that happen. And, you know, it could be minute. You know, it could be inside the clubhouse. It could be on the field. It could be a sick defensive play or an amazing pitching performance, right? Like, you know, but I feel like there's probably, like, there's a small accumulation of things that happen throughout the point of the year, and you're like, man, like, that's what's really helped us get to this point. And it's something that it's going to be sometimes some things that people might not recognize, But that's what got us to this point.
So for us, you know, at it, that grand slam against the Marlins, when you guys were struggling and, you know, the fans were even booing the night before, you hitting that grand slam felt like a moment for us watching the team where you sort of pivoted back to normal. Do you think that moment is one of those moments?
You know, I think I hope so, right? Like, I hope.
I guess we look at the end, right? Look at
yeah,
how it
I
ends.
Mean, yeah. I think that's the biggest thing, right? Is like, you know, I like to think about that stuff, right? But I don't like to think that about myself. I'm looking at everyone else, right? You know, mm-hmm. So, you know, if someone's thinking that about me, that's a good thing, right? But,
yeah.
You know, I can think about a bunch of other things, you know, where a bunch of other people have really stepped up, especially when you look at our young guys who were in the minor leagues, and then we had some guys go down and they stepped in right away and they filled up big for us, you know. The way that those guys have been able to come in prepared, it's been great.
You know, that's why I asked you the first question first and that question second, because I knew you didn't want to take credit for it because that's, you know, the kind of guy you are. But it, as a fan base, it felt like that was one of the moments. Well, you know, we're so excited, Kyle, we appreciate your time. We're so excited for the playoffs this year. And we have to tell you, I think it was about a month and a half ago, we had Chicago's own Billy Corgan, a huge Cubs fan of Smashing Pumpkins, right here in the studio. We had him in here for about 45 minutes. Mm-hmm. And the only time he was sad the entire time was when we talked about Kyle Schwarber and how you were not in Chicago anymore. Like, he was sullen. We had to bring him back after that. And that is sort of, I think it's the effect that you have on everybody here, but it's clearly the effect that you have on other people seeing his face. So I thought you would enjoy hearing that.
I appreciate. Yeah. Well, sorry, it broke your heart, but it wasn't me. But I'm happy as hell to be where I'm at. I'll tell you that. So, can't wait for Red October, boys. I appreciate y'all
for sure. Thanks,
thank you, Kyle. Yep.
There he is, Kyle Schwarber. You know, Jack and I were talking before the interview about asking him about the home run, and I'm like, I gotta set him up before I ask him about the grand slam, so right. you can tell us. But
he's gonna be a great manager here one day.
Oh yeah, I mean, they can't ever let him leave.
No, I already have the succession plan. Okay, so they're gonna give him an extension. He's gonna be a leadoff hitter for like what, 3 or 4 more years.
Yeah,
okay.
And then he's turning into the Matt Stairs role for the until he's 40.
Yeah,
okay.
And then he's gonna be the manager.
Okay.
I'm fine with that.
I think we're all okay with that.
Yeah, I'll take that. All right. Well, thank you, Kyle Schwarber, and thanks for the Phils for lining it up. And next Thursday, actually, we're going to do a whole big Phils day over at Chickies in South Philly, getting you guys ready for the playoffs. All right. Coming up next, we go back to the conversation about Jack's ridiculous idea about prioritizing health on Sunday and giving away a football game.
What a crazy concept. We got a whole season to worry about.
What a crazy concept. Try to win a football game that you're favored
in. Oh, you're such a
tough guy. They're favored.
You want to do an Oklahoma drill in the middle of the segment?
They're favored. Yeah, I'm a football guy. 215-592-9494. This is the WIP Afternoon Show with Ike, Spike, and Fritz.
That's right.
We bring the boom to you. It's a WIP Afternoon Show. This would be a good Schwarber walk-up song.
Dude, Schwarber does need this as his walk-up song.
Oh, my
song.
God. It would be huge.
Oh, this would be classic.
So,
I wonder if he knows that yet.
So I was doing some reading about Schwarber beforehand, and I know he uses that Bone Thugs song here, and he'll use Cult of Personality.
Yeah. Yeah.
But does he ever use No Diggity here? Because he used it in Chicago. He used to use No Diggity in Chicago.
He did?
Yeah, the Blackstreet song.
Oh, interesting.
Jack doesn't even know what No Diggity.
No idea what
Yeah,
that
he
is.
Used No Diggity there. Yeah. He did use No Diggity there. Yeah, so I had a lot
of Bone Thugs and Harmony is an Ohio group.
Yes.
Ah.
Yeah, it's Cleveland.
There you go.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's good. No, that's great. That's good.
It ties in. Yes, it all ties in.
Yeah,
yes.
I'm glad it does. Is Cult of Personality, are they an Ohio group?
No, I'm
Living
just
saying, Color, I don't think so. I don't think they're an Ohio group.
I have no idea, but I will say this. Most guys from Ohio are proud to be from Ohio.
Ohio, yep.
Okay.
So, here you go.
Except for Hugh.
So,
except for Hugh. Yeah, he thinks he's from Georgia.
He didn't even know he was from Ohio.
He acts like he's from Georgia.
Yeah.
Do you want to know what the state of Ohio says about Hugh?
Does Hugh do anything for us?
Aw.
Burn that clip, man.
Yeah, that is. I feel bad of all the clips we play. The Twitter question is brought to you by Mark's Jewel. And thank you, Kyle Schwarber, for coming on the show, by the way. He's... He really is. I didn't know what to expect from Schwarber when I got back here, especially when I saw a guy was hitting the .187 leading off. But we didn't get a chance to ask him. But he hit .250 this year.
I know. Hit over 300 against lefties.
It's incredible. Yes. The Twitter question brought to you by Mark's Jewelers. Mark's is designing the ultimate championship ring for our listeners. Vote on the design. Find out how to win. 94WIP.com/Mark's. Do you hope or expect the Eagles to win on Sunday? What do you think the percentages are, Ike, with hope and expect?
This fan base is smart. They're going with hope. And I'm going to say let's go 67%.
61%.
Damn.
This is close enough. This is ridiculous. They are favored! Expect more!
I don't know why they're favored.
I don't know why they're favored.
Three things happen, they win this football game.
Okay.
One, the defense doesn't implode.
Right.
If we get a reasonable effort.
Anything close to what they did last week.
70% of what we got last week.
Yeah.
Two, Jalen Hurts doesn't turn the ball over. Three, Kellen Moore uses some sort of his brain and not just approaches this game differently from a play calling perspective, but from a schematic perspective. I wanted him at the NovaCare facility for 48 straight hours, writing things down, teaching players, all that sort of stuff, and then win the game. And then there's Jack over here who wants them to rest Lane Johnson if he can play, rest A.J. Brown if he can play. Anybody else they want to? Manage Saquon. This is a team.
We're going to ride Saquon.
Why?
We're
trying to win a Super Bowl.
Yes! So win every game you can.
You're so obsessed with this, win every game. Like, at some point, you have to be smart. It is week 4. He has a hamstring injury. By the way, they're dealing with a hurricane down there. It might be a sloppy field. I want to put AJ out there with a bum hamstring.
Wait a minute. The last day it would have rained in Tampa would have been Friday.
What do you know
about rain? The game's
on
Sunday.
I will talk to Tornado about it.
Yeah.
No.
When did you become the
Tornado?
But
Tornado was giving us weather in a dome last week.
That was unique. Yeah.
215-592-9494.
Unique's a kind word.
Yeah, it is. Corey and Columbus, the Vince Coleman of the WIP Afternoon Show, leading us off. Corey, you're on WIP.
Another Ohio guy, you know.
Ohio guy.
You know me. I'm not like Jack and OG. You know, I don't really brag about my sports career like that. You know, but I ain't going to put this out there, but
bragging about their sports career, by the way.
I might be one of the reasons why Kyle Schwarber chose baseball, but we ain't going to talk about that.
Y'all playing against each other in high school?
Hey, man. Hey, and Kyle Schwarber, you my age. You wearing this old jersey. When you was a kid, Carson Palmer, you was a Ted Johnson Carson Palmer.
No, he's not that young. He's not that young.
He's like Kyle Schwarber, only 30 years old.
How old is
30? Yeah, 31, I think he is.
Well, yeah, Chad Johnson played when I played. He's not that young.
Like, how old you think people was when you played? How old you think a 30-year-old when you played?
How old would a 30-year-old be when I played?
It's like Jack 30.
It would have been 14.
I guess you're right. You'd be like 10 or 12 years old, I guess. Yeah,
old
you're
enough.
Right.
Old
you're
enough.
Right.
Yeah.
You're right. Well, hold on, man. He just loves. He's a throwback jersey. Icky Woods. That's all.
Yeah, that was a clean jersey, though. That was a clean jersey. But, yeah, Kyle Schwarber, an Ohio legend, Ike Reese. I don't know what's wrong with this dude, but, you know.
Does she do anything for us?
Stop.
He's from the great state of Ohio. But listen, let's get on
Mike Schmidt.
The point at hand.
The point at hand. I can count on you today, Corey. I feel like we're going to be on the same page today.
Listen, I don't know what this dude behind the glass, I thought he talking about I'm a man's man and all that. This dude sounds scared. This ain't baseball. You don't get no day. This ain't Joel Embiid getting rest. We playing, baby. A.J. Brown. Hey, man. Everybody want to show up. Everybody want to talk about Jalen's record versus the Buccaneers. Hey, what's his record when A.J. Brown play with him? 1-0, baby. About to be 2-0. I expect them to win. Whenever number one step on the field, I expect to get a W because that's all he do. Is step on the field. Everybody want to talk about a QB win. It ain't a QB stat. It ain't a QB stat until he lose, right?
I don't put losses on. Yeah, I don't do that. No. Because win-loss doesn't determine how he truly played in the game.
Listen, that's why you draft a quarterback. You draft a quarterback to win, you know?
Yeah.
And I'm going to keep saying this. like the whole win-loss thing. I'm going to stand on this. One person we ain't proud of to be from Ohio is LeBron James. He the reason why this losing started. Ain't nobody. Only reason you wanted to win games. That's the only reason. As long as this dude came around, getting all these stats, all these excuses, playing with all these players, and all of a sudden, losing was okay as long as you played good. That ain't never been nothing we grew up with taught until this dude came around. We expected to win on Sunday. We're going to get the W. A.J. Brown, Saquon Barkley, Michael Jordan at the helm. W, baby. Go Birds!
See, I knew I could count on Corey. You cowards. You cowards, okay with 2-2 going into the bye. We're favored on Sunday. I feel like I'm in the twilight zone this week. Now, I was relieved they got the Saints win, that at worst we would go into the bye 2-2. Mm-hmm. But the idea.
The Friday, you want the win.
Well, yeah.
There's nothing wrong with it.
Well, and I've been, I don't watch and study all these other teams all day long.
Unreal.
But just the more that we talk to people about the Bucks, the less worried about them that I am. They're a real football team. It's not like we're going in there playing the Carolina Panthers or something, but they're also not even close to the elite of the NFL. And if this is a team, by the way, that we all talked about being a contender in the NFC and representing the NFC in the Super Bowl, mm-hmm. You can't talk about going into Tampa in a game that you're favored because you're missing a couple of wide receivers and saying that you can't win the game. This is or that it's not important that you win the game. That's okay that they lose the game. I'm telling you, we get a good game out of Kellen Moore. We get a non-turnover game out of Jalen Hurts. And we get an acceptable game out of defense. This is a win. Do you expect the Eagles will win on Sunday, or do you hope that they'll win on Sunday? 215-592-9494. Rocco from the Dirty 30, you're on WIP.
Well, I was listening yesterday, and I realized that they were divvying up callers between the morning show and the afternoon show. So I guess I have to call in to give my allegiance to the afternoon show.
Oh, well, we appreciate that. You thank you, sir.
Well, you know, listen, the camera won't recognize me for all the years that I called into the show. So, yes, what? Screw him and the horse.
He's a loser.
Saying the phrase "dirty 30" is not a bad word in the WIP afternoon show. We are proud of the history
besides
of this radio
Kenny.
Station. Yeah, Kenny, because
well,
he wasn't actually in the Dirty 30, but you were.
Yes, I was there, and I've been there since day one, and I appreciate that you appreciate me. But I'm an Eagles fan. I expect them to win every week. I don't care who the opponent is. I, in my heart of hearts, want to feel that we have a chance to win every single game. Now, I'm not a gambler. I don't have an account on DraftKings or any of those.
FanDuel.
I have that liberty to just be a fan and just cheer my team. Okay, now, I get it. But did you guys see what happened to Tampa Bay last week? Seven sacks. Seven sacks. Mm-hmm. Okay.
And you know we are elite at getting to the quarterback.
Yeah, how many sacks do we have this year?
No. Wait a minute.
Two?
We have a lot of hurries. And if Jalen Carter...
No, we don't.
If Jalen Carter plays the same game he played last week, this team will dominate. I'm telling you, on defense last week, he single-handedly put that defense on his back, and he said, let's go, guys. We're going up against the best and most explosive offense in the league, and we're going to stop them. We're going to shut them down.
I'm not even as concerned about the defense. I think it's Slay playing? Slay is playing, right?
Yes. He played all week. He was full participant all week.
So I'm not as concerned about the defense as much as I am the offense. Todd Bowles has did a number on us, although we played better versus the blitz, so I feel sort of confident in going in here to have something to counter what Todd Bowles does. But I'll say this, Rocco. I'm Spike's doing a good job because I'm starting to lean towards him, but I still need to see who's available. I'm not doing the whole no matter who's playing, they should win. I can't get behind that. If you don't have A.J. Brown or Devontae Smith out there, I don't know how you can say you should go on the road and win.
Well, that's the other half of my argument.
Okay.
So on offense, you got to ride Saquon. This is a man management. Yeah. This is not load management. He is the best running back in the league right now. We have a great offensive line. We have the best offensive coach in the history of our franchise.
What?
You utilize and you...
Wait, who's the best offensive coach in the history of the franchise?
Our offensive line coach.
Offensive line coach.
Offensive line coach. No.
Yeah, we almost had to ban you from the show, Ragod.
Not coordinator. Offensive line coach.
Okay.
So the offensive line. I was talking about the offensive line. Offensive line coach. All right. So he will find a way to get those holes open. He'll find a way that Saquon gets his yards.
Yep.
Now, you have a very, very competent tight end. He's going to be double-teamed right off the line.
Yeah.
Somebody's got to be open on the wideouts. I mean, somebody.
Thank you for the call, Rocco. I'm not even worried about I know the wideouts are important. But and then the other thing.
You don't win with just a tight end.
No. Well, you get two tight ends.
We do?
Yeah.
Come on, man. Calcaterra.
Calcaterra is the other tight end.
What has he done?
No, here's...
He got blown up on Sunday, by the way. Did you see that?
Yes.
He got absolutely ran over.
Well, and here's the other thing. I know you're going to say it always comes back to this for you, but if I'm talking about having two running back sets and two tight end sets and concentrating on the run game and dominating that way, there's one other thing I want to see a lot on Sunday.
What you want to see?
I want to see Jalen Hurts
QB
under
runs.
Center. I want to see him under center. I want to give...
Well, you know we're not going to see Jalen.
Well, if he's just handing the ball off, I want to give Saquon Barkley the best chance to succeed, because I can tell you this, if we line up with three wide receivers in the shotgun and say all we're going to do differently is run more plays for Saquon, we're not going to win. You saw what we did to New Orleans last week, and they have a great running back, and they had run all over everybody. But when the other team knows that you're going to do that, it becomes much more difficult, and you have to scheme for that. So this is not just about, you know, running the same exact plays and Jalen deciding to give it to Saquon rather than keeping it himself on an RPO. The offense has to look different this week.
Yeah, that's what will be interesting with Kellen Moore. We didn't get as much motion last week as we had gotten the previous 2 weeks, like the pre-snap motion and all that stuff with play designs. And I know every team is different, and you're not going to go into every game with the same game plan. But it will be interesting to see what Kellen Moore dials up this week. I wish I was fully confident that we can go down here and get this win. Only reason that I'm not, A, is because I don't know who's playing Sunday for the Eagles. And B, I got to be honest with you. I've liked some things Kellen Moore has done, but he still has left a little bit out there to be desired.
It hasn't felt unbelievable.
Yeah, I haven't gotten this feeling of I'm wowed by all these different things we're doing with the offense and how we're getting everyone involved. I haven't seen that yet with the offense.
You know, I'm actually interested to talk to Jaws at 4 and ask if it is realistic to say for them to do what I'm saying them to do, right? In training camp, they probably worked on, you know, 12 and 21 personnel, almost none, because Kellen Moore is a three wide receiver guy generally. But I'm curious to ask Jaws, is this something that you can implement in a week? If this is an unrealistic thing to say, hey, we're going to play a little bit differently, because it's still football,
I
right?
I think they can.
Yeah.
And the reason why I think they can, Shane Steichen did in 2021. We went from when Nick calling plays, by the time, was it Vegas, the last game we lost to go to 2-5?
Yeah.
And then we became Newt Rockne and the wishbone, like we started doing that for the rest of the season.
Doesn't Derek Carr at 90% completion against us?
Well, I mean, after that, we changed our offensive philosophy. Well, so he did. Was it a bye week?
Maybe. I think so.
Well, I don't know if it was a bye week.
Well, how about even Doug and Foles? That was
took
a huge
a couple
change.
Weeks,
it did take him a couple weeks, but that was something that they that they changed. I mean, they didn't change the entire offense, but the amount
they
of RPO they ran
was
that he was comfortable with.
Running. No, you're exactly right.
All right, coming up next.
Foles played under center.
Yes, did play under center because he's a quarterback, and that's what quarterbacks do. So coming up next, you know, we have Elliott Shore Parks, but here's something we have not talked about yet that I think is a really interesting question. There was a report out of New York today from Rich Cimini, who is a Jets beat reporter, that Hassan Reddick would welcome a return to Philadelphia.
Yes.
What? Who is that?
Oh, that's Howie.
Oh, okay. I'm curious whether Elliott thinks that is realistic. I know Elliott's been talking about getting Bryce Huff on the field more.
Yeah, let's leave that alone.
Yeah, but I'm curious to find out. So we will talk about a possible return of Hassan Reddick with Elliott Shore Parks next. This is the WIP Afternoon Show with Ike, Spike, and Fritz.